Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 152 all the stanzas. What time I am afraid. I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word so rich and free. 1-5 of Psalter 152.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read in this afternoon. You can find recorded in the book Genesis, thereof the 28th chapter, beginning by verse 16. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 28, beginning by verse 16 to the end. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast blessed us with another Sabbath day, with another day when we may gather round about thy word and thy everlasting testimony that shall never fall away, that shall be fulfilled to every last jot and tittle, and not as the word of man, as we often do promise and threat, and we do not carry it out. But when thou dost threaten, then it will come to pass. And when thou hast promised, then it shall be forever sure. O thy servant did say that thou hast delivered me from the lowest hell. Oh, that is what he deserved, and he did feel it in his heart. That is the place that he had merited, but thou hadst delivered him. Oh, how great a goodness kept in store for those who fear thee and adore in meek humility. For the lot to me that fell, thy servant did say, is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. Oh, that thou may give in the hearts of each and every one of thy dear children, wherever that they may be in this afternoon hour, to experience a little of that goodness, and that in their heart may be an acknowledgement for all that thou hast provided, for thy word that is so very, very full. Thy servant did say, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That it may be experienced by young and old in our midst. And not only thy word, but then also thy sacrament that is also based in thy word. Oh, that thou may give a humble heart unto those who indeed were enabled by thy Spirit to come and to sit about thy holy table. And then it is such a great wonder that in this day we may commemorate what thou hast instituted so long ago thyself, and that we may sit with one another even as thou didst sit with thy disciples, that thy words which thou hast spoken unto them may resound in the midst also of us. Oh, could it please thee with the same power, with that same efficacy, with that same suitability and sweetness as it was received in the heart of thy disciples, and that thou wouldst grant unto each and every one of thy own true church what is necessary to acknowledge thee in truth, and wilt thou give that blessed dependence each and every day through every trial and every affliction and every cross providence that will come across their path in order to try them as gold is tried and as silver. Oh, thou wilt bring them through the fire. Thou wilt try thy own work. Thou wilt take away all the dross. And what is left, thou wilt shine brightly as the sun. Thou wilt so be glorified and magnified in it by thy own dear church. And when they have not been able in this morning to approach unto thy table, and then thou still knowest where that they are. Oh, that thou would look them up in this afternoon hour, and that thou may supply for the needs, because thou dost indeed say, do this in remembrance of me. Look upon those that are children in grace. Oh, that thou may give them also to come to the breaking forth of children. Oh, that thou may work, Lord, and that thou may continue thy own work, and that thou may give that there may be light upon thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that thou may remember us when we do lay upon a bed that is too short, that we cover ourselves with a covering that is too narrow, because we have deceitful hearts, and we can deceive ourselves, and we can deceive one another, but we cannot deceive thee. Oh, that thou may undeceive them, and that thou may grant the truth where the truth is not. Oh, that thou may show us the way when it is only that which comes up as the grass and will soon wither. Thou wilt make thy people to grow, even as the palm tree we read. Thou wilt make them to grow as the cedar tree. Then it is that all the winds shall blow against it, but thou wilt make it firmer and firmer in that solid rock, so that it cannot be taken over. O Lord, that thou may remember all of us together. We are here in this afternoon in a special way to look back and then also to look forward. Oh, that thou may give it in deed and in truth. Wilt thou give hearing ears and understanding hearts a holy jealousy when we do stand on the outside of the blessed portion of thy true church. Oh, that we may with all our heart desire it from thee. Is it not yet free? Oh, dost thou not say, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Oh, that the separation in this day may be taken to heart, that we may see that we cannot die with our form of religion and appear and stand in thy judgment seat. Oh, that we may seek it from thee who dost proffer peace and pardon, that we may hear thy voice today. Wilt thou care for all those that need thee in special ways, the sick, the mourning, those that are handicapped, those that have serious diseases, those who suffer from addictions, weaknesses of the mind and of the body. Care for our government, all those that reign and rule over us, and all those who are persecuted in all the countries of this world. Wilt thou uphold them, and wilt thou visit them also, and give that thy truth may prevail also amidst the nations that know not thee. For we have heard it in this morning hour, that blessing that was given unto thy servant, that he would be a blessing to all the families of the earth, and then there is no nation that is excluded from that promise, or that thou may bring it then to the ends of the world, also unto that Jewish nation. Lord, thou knowest that their eyes, they are blinded, they do not see, or that thou may open their eyes, for thou art able to graft them in again, we read in thy holy word. Oh, that thou may bring them to see, that they may no longer despise thy dear Son, but that it may become unto them a new light that they have never seen before. Oh, that they may receive a true sorrow, a godly sorrow, not to be repented of. And then they shall be received even as that prodigal was received, who had departed from his father, has spent all his living, and then in sorrow did return again. And thou wast watching for him. Thou wast waiting for him. O Lord, could it please thee so to do in the midst of that nation and also amongst us? Wilt thou bring home safely in this week those that have traveled to that place? And wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon, and all those who do bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world? Wilt thou give thy word a place that it does not have by nature, because we do reject it, but thou art able to open our hearts, that we may attend unto the things that are spoken. Oh, may it be also in this hour, wilt thou help us, give us liberty and freedom, strength and ability, clarity to bring it to the mind and to the ear, and that thy blessing may be upon it by the power of thy Spirit, and that it may become a blessing feelingly and believingly in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 51, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, His name will I confess. The last collection today is for the insight into Psalter 51, all stanzas.
Thank you.
meditation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found once again in Genesis chapter 28, and thereof the first part of verse 16 with the rest of the context. Verse 16a, where we read, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep." So far, the words of our text. Jacob's reflections at Bethel. First, an holy awe. Second, a sacred memorial. And third, a solemn vow. Jacob's reflections at Bethel. First, an holy awe. Second, a sacred memorial. And third, a solemn vow. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. That is a common thing. And we all also this morning, we have awaked out of our sleep. Then sometimes, children, then we have had a dream. When we have wakened out of our sleep, then that dream, that is over. Sometimes you are very glad that it was over, because you say that dream that was so very, very frightening. And there are other times, and you say, oh, I wish I could have stayed in that dream, because that dream that was so very, very beautiful. How was that, do you think, for Jacob? When Jacob, we read, he awaked out of his sleep. Oh, I think Jacob would like to have continued in that dream. How do you think that is for the Lord's people? When the Lord is coming over for them, and when the Lord is giving them a visit from above, the house of the Lord, oh, then you say, oh, then they are wishing that was never over. You can read about the bride in the Song of Solomon. And then she says, I found him whom my soul loveth. And then she says, I held him. I would not let him go. Oh, she did not want to let him go. That is the way it is for that people, when they may find him whom their soul loveth. And they do not want to let him go, but oh, then they find that eventually he flees away, because that is not until another time that the Lord has reserved for them that he will be always in their presence. How was it then in this morning? Perhaps you say, oh, it was so long. Oh, so it is. And then we are glad maybe that it was over, boys and girls. That we could go home finally. Oh, that is not a good sign. You know, young people, that religion, if the Lord does not come in with it, religion, that is a very weary thing. That exhausts you, because then it is all duty. But now if the Lord comes along with it, do you ask for that? Because when the Lord, he is coming along with it, oh, then it is not taking away your strength. Oh, then it is giving you strength that you may go on. And then it is invigorating your soul. And also even sometimes your body, it can be invigorated by it. Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And when we awake out of our sleep, then we reflect. Especially when we have had such a dream. Sometimes we cannot remember that dream so very well. And other times we can remember that dream when we become old, when we have had a dream even when we were a child. How do you think that was for Jacob? How long do you think that he has remembered this dream? Oh, you say, I think he has remembered it all his life. I think so too. Now, how do you think that is for the people of the Lord? when the Lord is coming over with a visit for their soul, or when they have a desire that would never go away. Say, oh, then they do not forget that so soon, because the Lord, He is not coming over in such a way every day. Jacob, we read here, he awakes. And immediately Jacob realizes that he is not alone, because we read, he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Say, the Lord is everywhere. That is right. He is in heaven. He is on the earth. He is even in hell. God's servant did say, if I descend even into hell, then thou art there. He is not there with his favor. He is not there with his goodness. There he is with his judgments. There he is with his wrath. Oh, you say, did not Jacob know these things? That the Lord is everywhere? Oh, sure, Jacob knew that. Jacob knew that more than we know by nature, even with a historical faith. Because if the Lord, children, will give you grace when you are young, as he has given it also to Jacob when he was young, and then you will know that the Lord, He is everywhere. Oh, then you will be afraid to sin. And then you will also bend your knees sometimes, not only when you are in the house of God to fold your hands, but sometimes when the love of your heart that goes out after Him, wherever that you are in this world, then you will bow your knees and you will fold your hands, because you will feel, oh, the Lord, He is everywhere. That is so. And yet Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Oh, how is that? Oh, Jacob, he did not realize at this time how close that the Lord was. God's children, they can be so carnal. God's children, they can have so much of that world living in their heart. They can be so of the earth, earthy, that they do not live with that feeling, sense, and realization of the nearness of the Lord. But now a visit from the Lord has this immediate effect that they feel the nearness of the Lord. That they feel and experience that the Lord, He is alive. Thus, the manifestations of the Lord, they are bearing their own evidence. You don't have to receive that instruction from another person, because that manifestation of the Lord that carries with it a testimony that is powerful in and of itself. Those impressions, they cause a holy awe that we are in the very presence of the Most High God. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Thus Jacob feels how that the Lord, though that he is high, yet that he takes notice of those who are low, that are here upon this earth, and that are in needy circumstances. Thus the dealings of the Lord, and that becomes such a wonder to that people, so that they are standing. He says, how dreadful is this place. Or what do we read? We read that Jacob was afraid. Was afraid. Is that then the same as when Israel stood before Sinai. Then they have seen the thunderings and the lightnings, and we can read that they were so afraid that they fled away from that mountain. Oh, they said, "Do not let the Lord speak unto us." And now God, He has spoken unto Jacob. And Jacob, he was, we read, afraid. How dreadful is this place? Is that the same? No. No, that is far from the same. Oh, we say Jacob, he would love to have continued in that dream. And what now makes the great difference between the children of Israel at Sinai and Jacob? Well, at Sinai, there was no ladder to be seen by that people. Oh, and that people, they were standing by that mountain. It is true that Moses, he took the blood of the lamb and he had to sprinkle that upon that people. Thus, that law that was given under not the covenant of works, but it was given under the covenant of grace. And yet, that covenant of works that is coming into the foreground, as it is in the first works of the Lord in the life of His children, and then it is grace, by grace, that a new life, that a new heart that is given, and that law is given, and yet they do not feel, they do not see that sprinkling of the blood. They do not see that ladder. And thus this fear of Jacob, that is a different fear. Or it is, as it were, Jacob who is standing in a holy awe of the Lord. Thus, the visits of the Lord, they are not puffing a man up. Far from it, just the opposite. Then he experiences in his heart that the Lord, he brings him low. And then he feels something of the great, great magnitude of God, the majesty of God. He feels something of his own unworthiness, his insignificance. He feels something of his own sinfulness. How can he appear? How can he dwell in the presence of a holy and a righteous God? Thus, that is causing a reverence. Are you reverent, children? Are you reverent when you pray? Are you reverent when you sing? Are you reverent when you come into the house of the Lord? And when your father, he will read the Bible at the table, are you reverent? But here, the Lord, he is working an uncommon reverence. As a reverence when one will come into the immediate presence of the Lord himself. We can read that of Abraham, Jacob's grandfather. And when the Lord, he is walking with him, and then he says unto him, he says, "Behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes." Oh, that is the way that the Lord is making a man to feel when he is bringing him into his presence. And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." The house of God. What is the house of God? Just a building. Oh, it is not just a building. In and itself, it is just a building, sure. But that house of God, that is a building that is dedicated. That is a building that is separated from other buildings. That is a building wherein the Lord dwells, the Lord lives. And now Jacob feels something about this place. He says that this place, that is a very special place. Is that different from other places? No, not in and of itself. What makes it so different? Oh, it was the presence of the Lord. It was the appearance of the Lord unto Jacob. That is what makes it so special for Jacob. Therefore, Jacob calls that place. He says, this is the house of God. This is where God dwells. This is where God visits his own people. Oh, do you ever experience that this is the house of God? That you may receive a visit from the Lord in the house of God? He is not confined to certain places in this world. He is not confined even to dedicated places in this world. And yet we read in his word, that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. So we find the tabernacle, so we find the temple, so we find the houses of the worship of God. And therefore the Lord Jesus, he has also cleansed that temple. And when he came into it and he said, this is the house of my Father, and this then should not be a den of thieves. And he has thrown out everything that would be a desecration to his Father's house. And so will be in our own heart when there is a spot, or there is a place, there is a bench, or there is a certain memory. Or you say, I was sitting there in that bench, and then the Lord came. Sometimes children, God's people, they think, I want to go sit in that bench again, just where I was, because then it brings back blessed memories. Oh, and they wish they could bring it back again. But that spot that doesn't bring it back again, no, the Lord, he is free. This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Gate, the entrance. Jacob says this is the entrance to heaven. Oh, this is the place that Jacob, he has entered into the mysteries of heaven. Preaching of the word of God, that is the preaching of the kingdom of heaven. But Calvin, he speaks also about the sacraments, and he calls the sacraments the gate of heaven, because he say they admit us into the presence of God. They are assists, they are helps, he says, which raise us unto himself. Oh, there is no place. There is no place in the entire world where, humanly speaking, that a man is closer unto God than when he is under the preaching of the Word of God and when he is under the administration of those holy sacraments. Oh, did you ever experience something in the house of God? That you were sitting at the gate of heaven? Because if we will enter into heaven, then we must first come to the gate. Oh, do you come here to the gate to knock on the gate? Oh, do you come here with a holy jealousy of that blessed portion of God's true church? Or do you come here with a supplication that that gate may also be opened unto you? Oh, do not be discouraged. No, the Lord, he is inviting. No, more. More. The Lord, he is commanding. He is commanding that a man, he is asking, that he is seeking, and that he is knocking. And the Lord is promising at the same time that He will answer and that He will open that gate of heaven. Oh, that is especially in His house. And yet the Lord, in the distress of a man, He is able to make any spot in this whole world into the house of God. Oh, that little corner where a man may not be able to come to the house of God. Oh, then the Lord, He is able to be a sanctuary unto that people. Jacob. It is the experience of Jacob when he is far away from home. And now he is struck. He is struck with a holy awe. And what does Jacob do? We read in our second thought that he sets up a sacred memorial. And Jacob rose up early in the morning. The Lord did not appear to Jacob in his activity. The Lord appeared to Jacob in his passivity. You may say, children, Jacob was asleep. Jacob was not doing anything. He was asleep. Say, today, that is different. Because the Lord, He is not appearing to His people when they are sleeping. No, He is appearing to His people when they are awake. Because the Lord, He is using the means to appear unto His people. He is using His own word. And yet the Lord is appearing to this people, to His people, in their passivity. What does that mean? It means that the Lord is appearing to them in that time when all their own work is finished. That was the time that the Lord did appear unto Jacob. Oh, the Lord, He rewards the work of His people. He rewards asking. He rewards seeking. He rewards knocking. Oh, let us not misunderstand. And yet, the deliverance of God's true church that is completely from the side of the Lord. That man, he will have absolutely nothing to do with that work. There is a saying, some persons, they say, God's people, they are saved with their arms folded. Or, God's people, they are saved with their hands down. Now we must not misunderstand. Because that is a beautiful expression. But it has to be rightly understood. It may not be taken out of its right meaning. We say the Lord, He is blessing the labors which He commands us to do, young people. That asking, that seeking, and that knocking. And yet God's children, they will experience in their life that actually they had nothing to do, absolutely nothing, with the deliverance of their own soul. It is to the people, when it comes, a great surprise. It is coming to them in their weakness. It is coming to them in their desolation. It is coming to them in their guilt. And yet that does not mean that such a man will not become active upon the receiving of the blessing of the Lord. That is true of the new life. That is true when the Lord is showing unto them where that life really is. And when He shows unto them and that they may receive by a true faith his only begotten Son. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. Oh, Jacob's heart that is filled with something this morning. What do you think that is? Well, you say, of course, the heart of Jacob that is filled with gratitude. Yes, that is right. How do we know that? Well, how do we know what is in the heart of a man in this world? We know that by his words, but we know that especially by his deeds. And Jacob, he wants to set up a memorial. He wants this spot. He wants what he has experienced in his life. Or he wants that to be remembered. He would remember it, but he would also have his seed. He would have his children to know of it, to know what the Lord has done for him. Thus he considers this thing that the Lord has done, this appearance unto him, the word of the Lord that he has given unto him, he considers that to be worthy, that the entire world would know what has happened. Oh, come ye that fear the Lord. Let me tell you what he has done unto my soul. But it is not only Jacob. It is not only Jacob that wants and has desired to make this memorial. You say, who else? The Lord. The Lord. Because the Lord has preserved it for us in his holy word. This has taken place so many thousands of years ago already. And we may declare it unto our own children. The Lord, he has a purpose. And what is that purpose? Oh, that purpose is to make our hearts to melt under his goodness. That purpose is to draw our heart. Oh, that we may see what the Lord is doing for his children. What a blessing that the Lord is giving to a fallen man, one who was guilty, one who was filthy, one who did not deserve it. Oh, the Lord declares it unto us. And so Jacob, he has memorialized it. So the Lord himself, he has preserved it for us and for our children. How did Jacob do that? Well, we read here he does two things. First, he took a stone. He took the stone and which he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. What is his purpose? Oh, Jacob. Jacob cannot stay. You understand, it is morning. Jacob, he did not want to stop. He could not stop really, but he had to stop. Because it was night, we have heard. And now Jacob awakes in the morning, and he has still to quickly depart, because naturally speaking, his brother that is behind him. Jacob is at this moment a fugitive. He cannot stay. But Jacob would like to build an altar unto the Lord. Jacob has a desire to establish this place, that this place would be the house of God. Just as Abraham, he built an altar at Hebron. Jacob cannot do it now because he has to flee, he has to go on. But Jacob, he marks this place that he may one day return and later on he may build the Lord an altar. And now the Lord, he knows the circumstances of Jacob. the Lord is not displeased with what Jacob has done here. There is a time for everything, Solomon says, under the sun. And there can be in the heart of a man to do a service unto the Lord. And yet, it is something that cannot be done immediately, but it must wait also for the time of the Lord. And thus Jacob, instead of an altar at the moment, he takes this stone and he sets up this stone and he anoints it. He takes oil and he pours that oil on that stone, and that he may make that stone a special stone. That was probably the ceremony that was used in those times in order to dedicate their altars unto the Lord, which became for them the house of God. But it is at the same time an expression of love. Love that is living in the heart of Jacob for the Lord. Why do we say that? Well, how many of us, when we would have to flee from Fort McLeod, how many of us would go into our cupboards and take with us oil? See, Jacob, he had to flee. He is going to take with him the least that he can, that he will be light and be able to run. But oil he has to have with him. Why? I do not know. There are some that say that that oil that was very important for those in those times, when they were out in the heat of the sun, so that that skin would not dry out, and that they could retain their moisture and so on. There are others that say that this oil that was an important part of their diet, that it was for their food. Regardless, we know that it was a very important thing for the journey which Jacob was taking when he has fled from his brother Esau. But Jacob is willing to forego that oil for the love of the Lord that is living in his heart. So it will cost him something, that love. Or when he will dedicate this stone as an altar unto the Lord. Oh, and now, how is that? Then with God's children, then they are ready. They are ready. Oh, they are ready to give everything. Then there is nothing that is in this world, when they may see something and feel something of the blessings that are from above, that they are given unto them, that inheritance incorruptible. Oh, then the most important things in this world, oh, then they are ready to forfeit for the Lord himself. And then there is one more thing. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. What is Luz? Luz, that means almond tree. And why did Jacob come and rest in this place specifically? Well, likely because there were in that place almond trees. That is why that it was called Luz. And very naturally, that would be for him a place of rest. Thus, those almond trees, they were very precious also to those people in that time. They were precious even to Jacob in this night. And yet, Jacob says no. No, this place that cannot be called Luz anymore. But this place that must be called Bethel, because this place is the house of God. And so all that was precious in this world, and then there is nothing so precious as a visit from above. That is the expression of Jacob when he changes the name of this place and so memorializes it. What he has received from the Lord, that it may be even unto this day. For whom? Oh, for those who may experience the same as Jacob has experienced, that may know that same visit, that may know that same place, that may feel that same authority, that may receive that same power, and that may receive that same blessing. Let us sing 175, 1, 2, and 3. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell His glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith He oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 1, 2, and 3 of 175.
Thank you.
Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. What is it? It is our third thought. It is a solemn vow. What is a vow? A vow that is a promise. That is a promise by which a man binds himself. He binds himself before the countenance of the all-knowing God. When the Lord spoke to Jacob, then he spoke to him as the seed of Abraham and as Isaac, through whom that he would carry on that promise unto his fathers. Thus the Lord has chosen him that he may fulfill that covenant that he has made with Abraham and with Isaac. But in all covenants there are two parts. So there was with the Father, that was in the covenant of works. Then there was the part for God, the Father, and there was the part for Adam, the father of all mankind. That is so in the covenant of grace. Then there is the part for God the Father, and there is also the part for God the Son. How is it then for God's children? Is there a part for them? Oh, indeed. When we speak about merit, to merit something, then there is no part for them. Is that not a wonder? There is no part for them. That is completely finished. Every jot and every tittle. So that it is absolutely free for the church of God. That is when we speak about merit. But God's children, they are also entered into that covenant by way of the Spirit of the Lord. Paul says they are partakers of his covenant. And thus, there is for them also a part when we speak about, when we do not speak about merit. We read that in our baptism form. We read that whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, we are obliged unto a new obedience. A new obedience. That is now the part that excludes all merit, but it is yet an obligation that is lying upon that church who become partakers of that covenant. And our fathers define what that new obedience is. They say, namely, that we may cleave unto him, and that we may love him, and that we may trust him. That is now what Jacob vows. He didn't have the form, because that form was many years later. Thus, where does that vow come from? It was not an education in his mind. But it comes out of his heart. It comes out of his heart. Why? Because that was worked in his heart. Because that is now the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. That is what our fathers, they are describing to us in our form. Oh, Jacob, he has a desire, an inmost desire that he may cleave unto the Lord, that he may love the Lord, that he may trust the Lord. Now, what is the purpose of a vow? Is that really necessary? Jacob did love the Lord. Yes, that is true. Jacob loved the Lord. But do you know what Jacob also knew? He also knew his own flesh. He knew what he was as a man. He knew that he was prone to wander away from the Lord. And Jacob has a desire that it would be different. He wants it himself to be steadfast always, thus to bind himself, that is, as a prod to Jacob, that he will never allow himself to depart from the Lord. And he is binding himself in a certain time. He is binding himself in a time where his heart that is filled with the love of the Lord, that people know that they see things in that moment as they truly are. They see in that moment where the treasure truly is. They feel in that moment who is now worthy of all the service of their whole heart and of their whole. They do not always feel it. No, there are many times in their life that their heart that is so cold and so hard. Think about Solomon. He has gone into the idol temples. We would say, how is it possible? But at this time, oh, Jacob's heart that is so full. And Jacob has a desire to make a vow just at this time when he sees and he feels the reality, the truth, the love in his heart, so that when that is departing, then there will be at least that vow that he that may prod him, that he may walk in that right way. That is not a strange matter. To those who have experienced and who have received spiritual meat and drink, that is not strange. To those who have experienced a spiritual Bethel, is that strange to you? Oh, then your heart that is so full. It is so full with the goodness of the Lord. Oh, then you say, I will serve the Lord with all my heart and with all my strength all the days of my life. I never want to go out into that world again. No, I want to keep separate from the world. I want to live a life of holiness before the world. Oh, then we say, begone world, begone sin, and begone devil, and everything that can draw me out again, because I wish, oh, I wish to give back unto the Lord just a little of what he has given unto me. That is not a strange matter. For those who may receive by times a little crumb from that master's table at that supper of the Lord, then it can be, oh, then it can be that they say, oh Lord, I will never leave thee. And then that they are actually in their, maybe they do not say it with their mouth, but they say it in their heart. That they make a vow unto the Lord that I am going to forsake the world and every former thing. That is now the blessed consequence of the merits of Christ for his own people and the application of those merits to their sin-sick soul. Is that something, a doctrine that makes men careless and profane? It is free grace, antinomian. Let us do evil that sin may come. It's of the devil. This is of the Lord. Oh, a people who are making a vow It is just the opposite than to make a man careless and profane. But it is drawing out a heart of love, a heart of gratitude. You say, why does Jacob make it a condition? Because we read, he says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so I come again to my father's house in peace, if God will be with me, then shall the Lord be my God. Why does Jacob then make it a condition? Jacob does not make it a condition. He does not do that at all. He does not say, if the Lord will now give me some further blessing. He is not asking now for something more than the Lord he has promised him. No, but Jacob, he is in a very desolate condition, outwardly. Outwardly, he has nothing. He has the promise of the Lord. But when we have the promise of the Lord, then we don't have yet the fulfillment of the Lord. Those are two different things. So Jacob has not yet that fulfillment. No, he has. He owns everything in the promise. And yet, he is a man that is so desolate. He is a man that has absolutely nothing. He is just a fugitive. There is still a threat to his life. And now what does Jacob say? Oh, he does not condition it on receiving anything more. He only says, oh Lord, if indeed thou art going to spare my life. Oh, he conditions it as it were upon his own life. That he is not asking for more. He only states now what the Lord himself has promised unto him. Actually, in the Hawk Bible, and then the word is not if. In the Hawk Bible, it is translated from the Dutch as when. When God will be with me. But he says, O Lord, I need that thou wilt do as that thou hast promised unto me. He says, O Lord, I am exposed on every side. I am exposed to danger. I am exposed to death. But when thou wilt indeed, as thou hast promised me, spare me and bring me back, then indeed the Lord, he will be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. The Lord did not forget that vow of Jacob. Read that in Genesis 35. Many years later, then you read that the Lord comes back to Jacob with his own vow. And he says to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there. And he commands him to build an altar unto God who appeared unto him in Bethel when he fled from his brother Esau. Seems like Jacob had forgotten that vow. The Lord, he had performed his part. The Lord had given him, bread. Oh, the Lord had given him much more than just bread and water. The Lord had blessed him indeed. He had a family. He had a multitude of cattle. And Jacob, he has returned. And it was 6, 7, 8 years later. And there was no altar in Bethel. Oh, Jacob may forget. Or Jacob, he was somewhat slothful in performance of that vow. But the Lord, he does not forget. No, he does not forget the promises that he makes to his people. And he does not forget the promises that his people, they make unto him. Thus, it is not a light matter to make a vow unto the Lord. We may not do that in a heedless way. We need to have a good purpose. We need to have a right purpose. And yet, Oh, that vow that can be in the heart, that is in the heart of God's children, and when they may receive a blessing from the Lord. And then lastly, he vows, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Thus, that tenth that was for the maintenance of the worship of the Lord, and that was for the poor. Oh, that is now the work of the Lord. That is now what the Lord fills his people with. That is a love for him, and it is also a love for my neighbor. Oh, that will be when the Lord grants a special blessing, or that the Lord is filling that heart. Oh, then they have a desire, and that everyone under that service of the Lord may come, and that they may receive that same blessing. Congregation, he called the name of that place Bethel. Do you know what we read later? We read later that Jeroboam II, he set up there a calf. Calf, young people. Can you imagine that? Idol. A Bethel. We'll say it's mockery. Mockery. That is what the devil does. Jacob's own children. How will it be for you, young people? Jacob's own children. How grieved that Jacob would have been when he would know that his own children had set up an idol in the house of God. In that very place that Jacob had received a special blessing from the Lord. Grace is not inherited. It is not given from a father unto his children, from a mother, from a grandfather, from a grandmother. Or in name, they had the religion still. They spoke about the name of the Lord. But in substance, it was gone. Let us not boast. Let us not boast in what we have, when we may have yet the truth among us, that precious truth of God. But it is not enough. But let us ask the Lord to reveal himself today as he has revealed himself unto Jacob. Will you do that? And may those who have made vows not forget to build an altar unto the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art good. Thy mercy and thy grace, that is so far above all that can be received in this world. Thou dost fill the heart with love for thee, and with gratitude. Oh, that we may together experience what it is. Because there is so much evil in our heart. There is so much world in our heart. There is so much sin in our heart. But oh, to have grace in our heart. To have love in our heart. To have faith in our heart. To have reverence and a holy awe in our heart. Oh, we ask this from thee, who alone can give it. And we may acknowledge thee for thy help in this day. And thou hast brought us through. And thou hast given strength, and that we may do our labors. Oh, grant an undeserved blessing upon them. And wilt thou dismiss us with that blessing? Help us in the week to come. Care for the child who will receive surgery. Bring back those that are away. Watch over each one that does travel. Help us in all of the work of our hands. and help in catechism, confession, house visitations in this week. Be with fathers, be with mothers, be with the students, be with the children. And wilt thou grant us a reflection, or that we may reflect with some sweetness upon what thou hast given in this day, that it may be for our hearts drawing and for the contentment of thy afflicted church. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 159, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. In thee my soul hath shelter found, and thou hast been from foes around the tower to which I flee. Within thy house will I abide, my refuge sure, whate'er betide, thy sheltering wings shall be. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 159.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.